This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You and I have unfinished business.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Get away from her, you...
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
At the movies on BFM 89.9.
I'm Uma Paganapake Pagan alongside Ian McNally. The latest remake of Halloween is now in cinemas. This one is by David Gordon Green. You would have last seen him, I believe, in Stronger, which was the true story of the man who survived the Boston Marathon bombing. He's trying his hand now at horror. He's got Jamie Lee Curtis back, and she is joined by Judy Greer, Andy Matichak, and Will Patton. And of course, this is the 10th sequel in the Halloween franchise. That makes 11 movies. The original was released in 1978, directed by the great John Carpenter on a super, super low budget of around $300,000. And of course, it was inspired by Psycho, but would serve as the inspiration for so many teen slasher flicks that would come after, because this was the OG teen slasher movie.
Yeah.
I think it was originally called The Babysitter Murders,
if I'm
not mistaken.
Yeah, I think that's how it's pitched, and they reference that in this.
Yeah.
Well. I mean, it's an eternal story of, you know, a girl and her psycho stalker, immortal, knife-wielding, William Shatner mask-wearing maniac.
Exactly. Exactly. And this movie is fantastic. And it is fantastic also because it completely ignores the previous 10 movies and just imagines that the first 1978 Halloween is the only one that exists.
Yeah, some people talk about comic books and superheroes as our like modern myths. And actually, no, it's Laurie Strode and Michael Myers. They will always be locked, good and evil, locked in battle in Haddonfield, Illinois.
For all eternity.
For all eternity.
Right?
Like, this, because it takes what it needs. And there are references to Halloween 3 in there and a few other like nods maybe to the later ones.
But spoken of as mythology.
Yeah, it takes what it needs. What does it need? This woman was traumatized as a youth. She raised her children weird. And now she's always afraid of this guy coming after her. And hey, guess what? Gets out.
So here's the thing, right? I mean, Laurie Strode was a really, really fascinating character because that's what made the first movie so good, because she was young, she was virginal, and she had a bright future ahead of her. And then Michael Myers comes along and completely shatters that dream.
Yeah.
And this movie, 40 years later, in both movie time and real time, essentially kind of picks up where she leaves off. I mean, Laurie Strode was completely broken and traumatized, and it's clear from the film that no one helped her.
Yeah.
They just left her to her own devices. And so she's built up an arsenal in her little compound.
And there's hints as well of like things of like her daughter was taken off of her because she was being Sarah Connor.
Exactly.
And the social services will get involved when you are just teaching your kids how to fire guns and hiding out in your compound that's a death trap for Michael, set up as a death trap for Michael Myers.
Can I say what was the most exciting thing for me when I saw the compound? Floodlight.
Yes.
I was like, in every horror movie, people just need to have floodlights everywhere.
Yeah. She had, although the room full of dummies was a bit weird. It's like, every other room in the house is like, nowhere to hide. This one room, everywhere to hide. But it's a horror movie. It's also a weirdly paced horror movie in that it doesn't feel like, even though it's a Blumhouse production, it doesn't feel like, you know, build up, jump scare.
No.
At all. Like, it is telling a story that happens to be about an immortal masked killer.
And so much character development in the first hour of the film.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just Laurie Strode. You hear from her daughter. You hear from her granddaughter. You see the police sheriff. You see the doctor involved. You see two podcasters who are trying to chronicle the story of Michael Myers.
Investigative
idiots.
Journalist, thank you very much.
Oh, yeah.
You get two cops talking about PB&J banh mi's for no reason. But it's just, again, these little delightful scenes.
Those are the moments I swear were written by Danny McBride.
Yeah.
I can't believe Danny McBride is writing this. If you don't know who Danny McBride is, he's the fat guy with the goatee that's in all of these really raunchy HBO comedies.
He was the special effects guy in Tropic Thunder.
That's right. And this is such a tight script as well.
Yeah.
I mean, from the moment it begins, and it opens in a really smart way because it opens at the asylum.
Yeah.
Because that's what you want. 40 years later, you're like, where is Michael Myers? And here are these two investigative journalist podcasters.
And they do
digging their own holes.
They do the Halloween version of playing with the lament configuration box from Hellraiser. Like, hey, Michael, look at your mask.
Here you go.
This reminds you of anything?
And the doctor's like, yeah, cool. Go
yeah,
on and
cool.
do that.
Yeah, that's cool. Just don't cross the yellow line. Everything else is fine.
And the great thing about it was the way it plays out, because here's this guy, he's a journalist, and he's talking to Michael, and he's getting more and more and more enraged because he wants him to say something.
That's why he's not a journalist. That's why he's a podcaster.
That's why he's a podcaster.
And he's looking for sensationalism.
Screaming at him.
Yeah.
And
say
then
something.
The credits hit and you're like, great font.
Yes. That original Halloween font, it's a pumpkin slowly dissolving backwards, and you're just watching it going like, this is like an old, like, they've done it like an old, they've taken the best of the old movies but added the more modern pacing and storytelling techniques.
But this is how you do it, right? I guess
yeah.
This is how you pay homage and update something for 2018, giving people exactly what they want. There are some shot-for-shot remakes.
Yeah.
In this show that are so effectively used because they're used differently.
But also, like, the looking over the balcony shot, which is almost the exact same. It's not even used that. It's the setup is different. But that shot still works really well, conveying exactly what you need to happen.
But a different message.
Exactly. Or just the physicality of Michael. Like, he's impassive. He doesn't do anything. Just him turning he kind of walks like RoboCop. His shoulders
so
and his face
stalks.
Kind of turned at the same time. And he does stalk. He never breaks into a run or anything. He
Ever.
Stalks the whole through way through this movie. And it's that kind of, it's a scare. It's like, this is dread coming. You know someone's getting stabbed.
And also because it's a Steadicam, right?
Yeah.
So it's following him. And he's the one that's moving and the camera's perfectly still and following him in a line. So you feel the stalk as well.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Feel the stalk.
Feel the stalk. I really enjoyed this movie because I think we've seen so many remakes. I mean, you've
yeah.
seen Halloween H2O, which was the 20th anniversary remake. And you've seen, have you seen the Rob Zombie ones? I really didn't like those.
No, I didn't get a chance to catch those.
Again. Oh, sorry. So yeah, for those of you who are keeping count, Halloween 2, Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, which wasn't Michael Myers. They tried to go off on a different arc. Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers. Halloween 5, The Revenge of Michael Myers. And then Halloween The Curse of Michael Myers. And then Halloween H2O 20 years later, Halloween Resurrection.
That was a sequel to H2O, right?
That's right, which was also rubbish. And then Halloween and Halloween 2 by Rob Zombie, who kind of remade it with John Carpenter's blessing. John Carpenter went, you know, kind of make it your own thing.
But I think John Carpenter said, like, as long as you give me money, I'm fine with pretty much anything.
Pretty much,
yeah.
Right? All of them have varying degrees of success. And by that, I mean they're kind of crappy.
Yeah.
Even Halloween 2 that was made by John Carpenter doesn't hold up.
Yeah.
So in many ways, this is such a worthy sequel. Also because Jamie Lee Curtis, man, and you update it by having three women central at the core of this movie who are kind of fighting back. If you've noticed, throughout the movie, all of the men are completely useless.
Oh yeah, Ray's awful. What about Ray? Yeah, don't worry about Ray.
Don't worry about Ray.
Will Patton is kind of looks concerned an awful lot of the time, but, you know, I don't know. It wasn't Will Patton in the original. They mentioned something about him being the first cop on the thing, on the scene in the original.
I don't think
I
it was him,
it's
right?
Something different, yeah.
Yeah.
But when is someone just going to make Judy Greer the main in her show? Like, she gets to play the mom in, like, Jurassic World and in Ant-Man. She's amazing in Archer as Cheryl Tunt. And she just needs to be the main. There is a nice, they do actually play into that character stereotype she's been forced to playing. A lot. Like, the ending of this kind of flips that on its head a little bit, which I did like, because I'd like to see just more of her and everything.
This whole movie actually flips the script on a lot of things.
Yeah.
So it keeps things surprising, even though a lot of it isn't anything new, because it's playing on the original concept.
You know he's going to get
Carpenter.
Out. You know some
exactly.
people are going to die. You know that. And it's pretty clear Laurie is ready.
And you know it's going to happen on Halloween.
Yes.
Right? At some point, some guy in the prison system went, hey, you know what will be really funny?
Let's do a prison transfer today.
We moved this guy on Halloween.
And then there's the inexplicable sheriff with the big cowboy hat. He's just like, oh, 40 years to the day, huh?
Who'd have thunk it?
He literally...
and then he goes...
They cut the who'd have thunk it, but they basically said that line.
And then he goes, what are you going to do?
Yeah. What are you going to do? Cancel Halloween? It's like, you're also doing a homage to Jaws and the mayor and that.
Yeah. It is such a well-thought-out film. I had a blast.
Yeah.
I mean, there were a couple of jump scares.
There was one I laughed at. There's a moment of reversal that just like made me laugh as well. I was laughing at it. There wasn't too many jump scares. It feels like it's this new modern horror we're getting now, which is not relying on just like the older horrors comparatively can feel a little staid or a little slow paced. Some modern ones can just be when you get too many jump scares, it doesn't work. This seems like a real nice balance of the two.
But for the most part as well, it is the kind of suspense and...
Yeah, it's the roller coaster.
It is. It is. There is, in the third act, when that final showdown does happen, because you know it's coming,
yeah,
it is so well drawn out.
Yeah. And it flips because, like, there's moments where you're with Michael and there's moments where you're Laurie and, like, they're, who is the predator, who is the prey? And it's following each of them separately as they look for the other. And that works really well because you're not, where is she? Where is he? What's going on? Who's got the gun?
And then, of course, the genius thing is getting John Carpenter to come back and do the music.
Yes.
So he composed some new stuff for
that
it.
That theme, yeah, 40 years, it doesn't get old.
No.
It never gets old.
No. It uses the same structure that made the Jaws theme or the Inception theme, all of these themes so iconic and so memorable and yet so simple, right? I think it's a 5-4 beat.
Something like that. But there is a moment with the granddaughter where it's completely different music, but it works really well. It's got almost like the Mad Max Fury Road, like, strings kicking in all of a sudden, and it's like things just got real, you know? And that's when I think it shows that it can move on and do new things.
Also, can I just say, you know what makes this so good? So good. None of the characters do stupid things.
No.
Even when faced with horrible situations, the way the granddaughter behaves, the way Laurie behaves, the way Judy Greer behaves, none of them do stupid things.
No.
Even when you think someone is about to do a stupid thing like Judy Greer's husband,
yeah,
there is a perfectly good reason as to why he does it.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like you're not screaming at the screen.
Exactly.
We should show the side outs. I think there was like, there's the ringer tees. There's an awful lot of the same. I don't know if it's a particular set of kitchen knives that everyone has in their house because it seems to be everywhere. closets seem to be everywhere as well because it's flashing back to
Have the closets.
Michael breaking into the closet, but now he's just hiding in the closet everywhere. I think there's a whole ton of other Easter eggs. Apparently, there's three kids wearing masks from Season of the Witch, the same three masks.
Oh, right.
Nice. So they're there if you want to go looking. And there's a scene with a girl getting murdered in a house. And it seems like, I don't know, it seemed like on the phone conversation was, I've locked up the doors. It seemed like she knew it was coming. But you can barely make it out, and it's just a horrible, senseless death out of nowhere. And I couldn't find any reference to that on the internet. I presume that's a reference to something.
And there was also a great little call out to 2018 where one of her friends just goes, wait, he only killed three people. What's the big deal?
Yeah.
Right? And I'm like, yeah, actually, the kind of movies we get these days and the world we live in these days, three deaths isn't a big deal. But keeping it rooted in Laurie Strode's brain and how she's been living with this trauma for 40 years and just waiting for revenge, that was probably the best way to go.
Yeah.
Man, this is a good movie. Go check out Halloween. It is now in cinemas. You will not be disappointed. Let us know what you think when you've seen it. I'm on at Umar Pagan.
I'm on at McNasty Prime.
You're listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.